Here's a trivia question for the end of the hour. Name the 1970s Western TV series starring David Carradine and the actor who was passed over for the leading role in the show he pitched to the networks. The answers? Kung Fu, that's the show, and Bruce Lee, the actor. Bruce Lee's humiliations and setbacks as a struggling actor in Hollywood on his way to international superstardom are the source material for a new Broadway play written by Tony Award-winning playwright David Henry Hwang. It tells in story and in dramatic martial arts style choreography how Lee's brash approach to martial arts and his rejection of Asia's 20th century culture of submission made him a symbol of Asia's rise in the 21st century. The show is Kung Fu, and its star is a real Asian actor and martial artist, this time, Cole Uribe. For writer Hwang, this was a project that took a very long time.
When I first started wanting to do a show about Bruce Lee, it was the early 90s. So I've been trying to pursue this for about 20 years. And at that point, I thought of Bruce Lee as a symbol of the rise of the new China. When I was a kid, China was considered poor and uneducated. And now, obviously, it's in a very different place. So that was the sort of symbolic thing that I wanted to explore in the early 90s. And then by the time we get to this version of it that I started to write about 2 or 3 years ago, I also wanted to look at Bruce Lee as a human being because I feel like he has become such a recognizable icon, but nobody really knows how he became Bruce Lee. So in some sense, Kung Fu is Bruce Lee, the prequel. And I also wanted to explore Asian masculinity, which is generally pretty denigrated in the West and in our culture. And Bruce created this new archetype, the Asian male hero.
As we see in Cole Uribe's presentation and portrayal of Bruce Lee, he is so fearlessly ahead of his time in those early years. How biographically accurate is that, and how exciting is it in terms of drama to have somebody who absolutely just does not believe the prevailing conventional wisdom about anything?
I have marinated in Bruce Lee biographies now for about 20 years, and I think it's pretty accurate. I was really pleased that Linda, his widow, and Shannon, his daughter, came to our opening night and told me that they thought it was the most authentic telling of his story that they've seen. And I think it was incredibly exciting even now to see an Asian man who is completely assertive, completely confident, completely masculine, and has no apologies or illusions about that. In a way, it's like Muhammad Ali in the 60s, yes, being arrogant, but being arrogant because that was necessary in that time period and social system.
But I don't get the sense that Muhammad Ali was as alone as I think Bruce Lee often was and as you portray him in this show. What do you think that was like for him and as a complication for your portrayal?
I agree with you that Bruce was iconoclastic in a way that was, you know, pretty unprecedented at that time. I mean, certainly there is a history in China of great leaders and heroes and assertive people and everything. But the idea of an Asian man in the West trying to put forth that kind of persona, yeah, he was pretty much on his own.
You really come at this mythology in American culture about Asians and martial arts that there's always some kind of wise old Yoda-ish sensei character. And the relationship of Bruce Lee and his father is a very complicated relationship that goes up and down. Father is authority at one moment, not so much at the next moment. How difficult was that for you?
Bruce, biographically, did have a very tumultuous relationship with his father. So I was building on the fact that his father kind of, in essence, kicked him out of Hong Kong at a certain point because he was a delinquent. He gave him $15 and he said, you know, come back for my funeral. And yet his father ends up transmitting a lot of information that Bruce uses later in life to become the star that he becomes. So it is a complicated relationship. And I think it's true of a lot of father, sons, or, you know, parent-child relationships, that you get the good and the bad. And then later in the play, we see Bruce with his own son trying to transmit both good and bad and working through that.
Did he get closure in understanding his relationship with his father?
Well, I believe that he had to accept things that were associated with his dad in order to become the success that he became. He had to accept coming back to Hong Kong. He had to accept the techniques that he'd learned from his father as part of the general physical vocabulary that goes into martial arts. I think if he hadn't done that, he wouldn't have been able to make the pictures that he did.
The line, it's stupid to fight boards because boards can't fight back, referring to the, you know, spectacle of karate,
right,
which was very much part of popular culture in the 60s and 70s in the United States. Did you feel that? That, you know, going on the Johnny Carson show and breaking a bunch of boards with martial arts was a was an insult and a misapprehension of what martial arts was all about?
At the time, I don't know that I had that much knowledge of martial arts. I probably, just like anybody else, thought it was pretty cool that, you know, he could break a board. And even though Bruce didn't like stunts like that, he was also a showman, you know, and he was in Hollywood. And so he recognized that those things were useful and sometimes did them, though they might have been somewhat distasteful.
How tempted were you to explore or maybe expand the potential of Bruce Lee as a character, you know, who's almost, you know, messianic? I mean, he dies the same age practically as, you know, Jesus Christ. You know, he has this quality coming from Seattle like Jimi Hendrix, you know, being one in a million, not part of some movement.
Yeah, I think that there is a certain reverence that people can take towards Bruce Lee now, many decades after his death.
And express very openly.
Yeah, and, you know, even you have the situation with, I believe it's Serbo-Croatia, where there's a village and they were trying to erect a statue to somebody they could all agree on, and they erected a statue of Bruce Lee. So he has taken on that quality. My approach was to try to introduce him as a human being, because I feel like the icon we all associate with now. But if the show is successful, it means that you go in thinking of him as iconic and as some sort of Superman, and you come out knowing that he was a human being.
And how have audiences responded to this show? Have you had Asian Americans say, you make too much of Bruce Lee, or this is the story we exactly want to hear? How empowering do you think this story has been to the people who've seen it?
The feedback that I've gotten from audiences is overwhelmingly positive, and people seem to feel very excited to see a piece about Bruce Lee that, of course, has this much kind of great martial arts and great movement and big dance numbers, but also makes him human. And, you know, some Asian Americans have said to me, oh, well, you know, we don't think that Bruce Lee had the same sort of problems that we do, because we just think of him as this hero. And the show is a lot about his struggle and how some of these struggles are still very prevalent today.
David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
David Henry Hwang is the Tony Award-winning playwright of M. Butterfly, as well as Yellowface, Chinglish, and the new play about Bruce Lee, the man before he became the legend. The play is called Kung Fu.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.